knocked it out of the park.
Well, last time I
said he's not off the hook yet. He still has to do the presentation.
Oh, that's right.
I can't do that. Of our accomplishments and goals.
I'm gonna start with a couple charts here.
Okay.
Wait a minute, we have those?
We'll get started. This is the Development and Engineering Advisory Board meeting for Thursday, January 9th, 2020. We'll start by doing introductions. Terry Wall, Wall & Associates.
Eric Lima, SJ Engineering.
Deanna, Development Engineering.
Melissa Tracy, Development Engineering.
Steve Bacon, Clark Regional Wastewater.
Dan Martin, Ross Brown.
Mike Odgren, Olson Engineering.
Jeff Riston, Kingston Homes.
Don Hardy with WSP.
Jan Gazala. I'm just a guest here.
Just a guest.
Seth Foley, WSP.
Ryan McKinster, BIA, Clark County.
Thank you. This deed meeting is being recorded, and the audio will be posted on the deed's website. Any comments on the minutes from our last meeting? That was on December 5th, 2019. Nope, everyone good?
Yep.
Okay.
Changes. According to Eric, we don't have to do that anymore.
They're considered approved.
Okay.
I'm used to that.
Perfect. Bad out.
Fair enough.
Let's see. So is Lee coming?
Yes, we have a meeting right before this.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, we'll bump up number three into here, and I will hand off the baton as chair to Eric Limo as our chair for 2020.
Have we formally nominated and voted him?
I thought we did.
I was vice chair last year.
I know you were, but we still.
Who's vice chair?
We need to adopt. Who's
spoke? Well, everyone's like,
If we're going in order, it'd be Jamie.
And that's who has not been chair yet.
How long have you been on, Dan?
1 year.
1 year.
That's about right.
11 months.
I might have been on here for 18 months before I became vice chair.
Yeah, I was around.
Well, you're special.
I was around 18 months.
I've been a chair, but I mean it.
See, starting over again. It would be
Jamie.
If Dan was co-chair, though, he wouldn't be chair until a year later.
But that's not necessarily the case. I mean, we still have to nominate the chair. And we still have to go through the process.
Okay.
We just can't assume that that's the way we're doing it.
Your name came up.
I don't mind getting voted in again.
Well, it's a possibility. Depending upon what we
do. You got your 30 seconds.
It's good timing.
Okay, would anyone like to, so maybe we should formally then, would anyone like to nominate a chair for 2020?
I nominate Eric Lemo for chair of 2020.
Second.
Third. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Any nominations for a co-chair for 2020?
Oh, we'll keep the rhythm going, and I'll nominate Jamie Howell.
I'll nominate Dan Wagner.
Okay, so we have two nominations. We never had a second on you.
Yeah, do we have a second for one of those?
What is somebody? He seconded.
He seconded that.
You're ready.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor of Dan Weissner as co-chair for 2020?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Abstentions? Opposition? So moved.
Okay.
Congratulations, Dan.
Congratulations.
You got so
much. Very prestigious.
You got one year.
I'm jumping forward to that, so I...
Okay.
It's a good thing Don's not here.
With that, as the chair for 2019, I will hand it off to our new chair, Eric DeLimo. It's been fun.
All right. Thank you.
Nice job, by the way.
And I'll leave you just in time. We're just going to go over upcoming events. That's going to play the steps.
Yep. Yeah, actually the easier time, the very second work session this year already passed. The next item would be January 16th, PC public hearing for biannual vote amendment. And then there is a county council meeting on January 21st, 2014. At 6 p.m., the topic is Old Homes Developers Agreement, reconsideration of CPC 2019-00002, North East 152nd Avenue.
You know what the developer's agreement is regarding?
Yeah, it's an issue regarding the 179th holding.
That's the 179th. Yeah. Does it have any implications on the general?
No, if it didn't pass, it would have had implications, but it's okay. Coming forward, so it's...
Okay.
Was there an issue?
No, there was an issue with one of the property owners not liking some of the language of the agreement. So, long story.
Member announcements. Any members have any announcements not on the agenda?
I do. I just want to bring something up that I want this passed along to Ollie, if you would, to the powers that be.
Yes.
Over the past several days, weeks, we've discovered the fact that it appears that different county departments don't know the processes that other county departments go through. For example, planning is not familiar with how development engineering takes in final engineering plans. Which is a different process and doesn't dovetail well with how we're supposed to be submitting final site plans. I don't know as if we have that nailed down yet and how that's supposed to go. We've been submitting engineering plans online, paying online, no problem. Apparently, we're supposed to submit final engineering plans and the final site plans simultaneously, so we have to submit paper copies and the application and the fees with the final site plan, but we're supposed to submit final engineering plans electronically and pay the fee. So it's this big... You're shaking your head, so you must know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we do know.
Yeah. Another one is... the submittal of building permits and when those permits are allowed to be submitted for site plans, it's been our understanding, and we've been told by staff over the years that, yeah, as soon as there's an application submitted for preliminary site plan review, you can submit your building plans, no problem, but they just won't be approved until you have your final engineering approved, which could be a long time down the road, great. And then it was, we could understand how maybe after the preliminary approval you could submit your building plans. Now it's, I just found out like yesterday or the day before that the building department is not accepting commercial building plans applications or accepting them at the permit center until after the final engineering is approved and the final site plan is approved, which seems a little out of order, and if that's actually the case, would add a lot more time to the process.
I'm sorry, did you say they won't accept the application?
They won't accept in the permit center building permit submittals for commercial building, multifamily, industrial, commercial, until after the engineering plans are approved. Now, I have sent in quite a lengthy email to the powers that be regarding that. I have not received a response. Well, I sent a short email, got a response, and then sent a much longer email, and so I'm waiting on that response, and we'll share that with everyone here once I get that back. We're being told one thing by planning and building department, and permit center is saying something else. So we're missing each other in that regard. And so one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. So I think it'd be good if all of the different departments kind of had an idea of how each other department is, kind of how their policies and procedures work. Because it's really confused us, it's pissed off our clients, and depending on the response I get, we'll be rattling in some cages. Or
then we have a comment
on this. What's that?
Brief comment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Actually, Melissa knows more about it. There was a change of hands of the site plan, which was done in our shop. At the same time, the engineering plan was, it was all done in development engineering. Mm-hmm. That plan included always the site plan, and they got separated. The site plan is always the sheet between the engineering plan, and used to be the good that Melissa. But as of
5 years ago.
Oh, was it 5 years that they took over? Yeah, but there has been a new change in the process that has caused some issues.
Not yet. They won't let us implement. Land use won't let us implement it.
Yeah, could you explain more?
We've asked and proposed that the site plan come in with our engineering plans as one packet.
Mm-hmm.
And all the fees come in at one time,
mm-hmm.
all electronically,
mm-hmm.
to stream,
sure.
quote streamline the process.
Yep, sounds efficient.
And then we would route everything out to everybody.
Okay.
So everything would come in electronically, and you would pay just like you do for ENG.
Yep, yep.
We're getting some resistance right now from land use.
Yeah, but the other piece would be a new that they don't accept anything that because they always review them come to court that issue until engineering was done.
Right. But right now, because of the new
LMS
and what Mike is proposing with the new building permit process,
where we're
proposing to front load the system with all approvals being done and the I don't know where they are with the pilot program because I haven't checked recently
maybe permits. This is a little longer than we want to, but just briefly, Mitch was trying to get a 15-day AU permit for all buildings, including commercial, that's not subdivision, 15-day period.
Mm-hmm.
So they started talking about front-loading and having some things out of the way. So that 15 days just for the building review, that probably has something to do with it. But I think there has been some reversal of that process, which after Dan Young took over. So they are talking about the new processes.
And I don't think the message has come all the way.
Okay. So,
but again, you read it.
Yeah, regarding the building permit submittal part, Dan's fully, I copied Dan on my response back to the permit center regarding the submittal of the engineering. And I still don't know how we do a simultaneous submittal when one has to be brought down and submitted hard copy and the other one is submitted electronically. I don't know how that works. And so if I could get some answers on that.
What's the resistance from land use? Just out of curiosity. Do you know why they are resisting it? Because it sure makes...
We have some meetings scheduled.
Okay.
Working with Angie and Susan on it.
Yeah.
I think it would be great if it could be the engineering package with the land use as a subordinate like Vancouver does. I mean, really, the land use is subordinate at that point during final site plan review. That's way better. We're going through that process in Vancouver right now, and it's a much easier process. I found that, in addition to everything Mike said, that the final site plan review process largely is a duplicative process. I mean, so we have basically two sets of the same information going through. It doesn't really make a lot of sense, but I still totally support what you're saying.
And the city of Vancouver does not anymore have a final site plan review process.
So wrap back into the building permit process. It's still a final site plan, but it's really...
There's a final site plan building with the building plans, but they're all reviewed by everybody else. And maybe that will change once land use gets into all our problems.
So would one of you be willing to, if I invite one of you to this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, would be happy to do
that. Yes. What I've been doing for like the last 17 years. So.
And just on the building permit side, I would, you know, I'd hope that could continue. Many projects have those time dependent elements on them, especially public entities like schools. It could be a whole year delay if you can't submit a building permit simultaneously with your package. I mean, it really could be another year.
At prelim, even if
I mean, so it's a big deal financially on the private side, but I mean, some of these it might be that, sorry kids, you aren't going to come to school for another year. I mean,
so just to be clear, there's two issues here.
Okay.
And I'd be happy to sit on whatever meeting for whatever issue you'd like to invite.
Yeah, I think we could help with that. I mean, in terms of like what the concern may be, which is what Jeff is asking, I mean, I think we both live that, and so, yeah.
All right.
Thanks, that's all I have.
I thought it might be good if we could request for next meeting if Dan, I'm assuming everyone's aware of Mitch is with code enforcement, he's heading up code enforcement, as I understand it, and Dan Young is coming in to take. Basically be over community development. So if we could maybe just understand his direction and vision, an intro of sorts, that would be...
I think that'd be great.
Great.
Because there's a lot of things Mitch has talked about that, I mean, I guess we don't know where they stand now. The 15-day review and things that he's... the streamlining and the pilot program that was going on down and the functional oversight committee, the streamlining that was, there was some pilot program that was supposed to happen in December that was supposed to help building permits not be 8 to 10 weeks
on the rough side
or whatever it is.
Part of that functional oversight committee. It went soft, but it kind of just stayed there.
You know, I don't know where building permits are now. I haven't been
getting. And we fully understand, you know, if. The issue with the permit center that they're understaffed and there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of activity going on. Yeah, we get that. But.
Yeah, I, on that, to me, on another topic, that's great, and thank you for asking him, is on the, some of the things I feel like, and maybe I'm the only one on this, but what was communicated to us of what was going to happen with building permits, and then what ended up getting communicated to builders about time delays that was going to happen post, I think, December 18th on submittals, that there was going to be this really long time lag. When we met and discussed it, I don't remember that conversation being relayed to us. Which is a little bit frustrating because then we're relaying, because we become a little bit of a voice box that relays to people, and then if it's not the same messaging, it in my opinion, kind of defeats the purpose of what we're doing here and what we're trying to accomplish, because we're trying to help be that buffer. So it'd be great to understand clearly what's being communicated and what's going to happen so that we can try to be on the same page, and if we can help in that messaging, we can do that. But if we're told something and something different happens, it's a frustration point, and then I don't know what we're... Then we don't know what to communicate. And then it's a matter of you're going to start getting a lot of people complaining. And I'm to be... The other thing I was going to relay is I'm hearing... The increase in complaints that I'm hearing has spiked more so of late. Than in the past, and maybe that's just with
in terms of
inspector stuff, or just in general, just stuff I'm just hearing more. And maybe it's December. I don't know. Everyone's got seasonal depression, but
December's normally a slower
right.
month. I mean, that's the thing. It's normally a quieter.
So, anyways, I'm done.
I would agree with you.
Okay. So we'll add that to the agenda for next month. Dan Yanganda. One other item maybe for...
I got one more to say. Just kind of hot off the presses on the GMA litigation side, the Supreme Court of Washington denied FutureWise's and Citizens United's petition for review. Good thing. So that'll go back down to the Growth Board to implement the Court of Appeals decision and remove the order of invalidity on the county, so now they'll be able to go out and get works trust fund letters and everything. So pretty good thing that happened this week.
Good news. One last item, maybe we can add it to the agenda next month. I have had follow up on the site distance items. There was a I was working with Rob Klug on some new language. I do have new language proposed. Still working with Rob on getting some county comments, but perhaps we can add that to the agenda next month and we can go over what that is. And I will circulate that around to everybody that proposed language here.
Eric's done a great job of staying on top of that. He's been consistently following up, so I appreciate his efforts.
And I'm not sure if we're needing other items for next month. I was going to, since we're talking about that,
yeah.
And it may not be next month, but perhaps the month after, I think it'd be good. The county is going to be doing a housing assessment study for affordability, and it would be good to kind of get an update on where that's at.
Is that from the subgroup that Jim and I have, or is that something
different? No, it's different.
That's vacant, affordable land.
This is actually going to be a study with consultants involved, so it'd just be nice to know kind of what the...
When is it starting?
Probably in 2 months, I'm guessing, yeah.
So when would be the appropriate time for us to...
Maybe March would be...
Okay. We'll pencil that one in for March, yes. And these two items in for February. And I think on the... we're going to go over our annual report, but since we're talking about the agenda for next month, I think we'll finalize it. So we introduce it today, we have a little discussion, and we adopt and finalize it at the next meeting, then in February.
I think we are also at some point going to have someone from LMS or CLM, or whatever, that someone was going to come talk to us about where we're at in the implementation of the...
Carol Brown?
I can't remember. You were the one.
Carol Brown is there. In charge of LMS.
Yeah.
What kind of information?
Well, I remember we were talking about it. So I had picked up, and I could be wrong, but I picked up that they had.
Some conversation, but I don't know what you wanted him to
talk
about.
I guess what I had heard was that certain things weren't being able to be implemented on the land use planning side. That was affecting. I don't know. I know it's affecting final plats. There's things they can't do. They can't submit electronically and all that. And I think what I heard Susan say is that it's because money had,
yeah.
We ran out of money. And so I'm kind of curious how far we got and what programs we still have, because so Susan put together a very good and I can since we're talking about that on the final plat side, we had a meeting. Susan put together a thing of issues and then answers to those issues. A lot of those answers, I can circulate that, and it's also probably going to be a continuing thing in the work plan to stay on top of this. But some of the limitations have to do with LMS and communication between departments, and I don't know, I don't completely understand that system. And it didn't quite make it to the land use side or something. I don't know if that's true or not, whether...
Yeah.
You know, I think that was the next phase.
Next phase, yeah.
And they don't have money for it, is what...
Or it was a situation where maybe it was money in order to get the widgets that needed in order to dial it into
right.
The exact processes that they wanted and linkages and whatever. I think that's probably something like
that. I know that's the case on the utility permitting side. They were getting ready to implement all the changes associated with the switchover, and they had to pull it back because the lack of funds meant that the widgets that they needed to tweak couldn't
right.
be tweaked because
right.
they didn't have the money to do it. So
I don't know if the effects trickle down to the building, to the permit center, whether if there's any effects there or not, or whether the permit center is all set.
Second part of that question was, if that is in fact the case, what is the county doing?
Right. So that was something that was brought up last week, last meeting, that I'm not sure has made the agenda for next or whenever. I thought they were actually going to be here for that.
Anyway, it seems like a budgetary item. I'm not sure if it's the windows passed on that, but that would seem like a commissioner budgetary item.
Well, we can at least find out where it's at and make recommendations. Yeah. It's
a recommendation on how necessary it is.
Because I'm getting asked, you know, I thought they were going to be implementing electronic smells on the land use side too. It's like
something we can talk about at our March meeting.
So yeah, we're coming again March along with that for a possible forecast group and maybe some other things will come up.
And that might be a good plan. And since we will be meeting with the counselors in March, that would be good to prophecy it here, then maybe as the first step in discussing it with them then.
Well, if we add it to the work plan, then it can be brought up as part of the discussion.
Right.
All right. Any other member announcements? Hearing none, we'll move on to the biannual code revisions.
All right. My name is Jan Bazala, Community Development. And December 5th, I presented, I think, 16 or 17 biannual code amendments, and we discussed them, and this board had some concerns, comments on a few of them. So I printed up this handout that explains what sort of changes that we're proposing now as a result of those conversations at the last meeting. So, starting on page one, the way I've got these laid out, I got the original proposed text that was proposed at December 5th. And for the first item is number 7 and 8, it was proposed to have a definition of building or development envelope and to amend section 200.070A7. So during the discussion, it appeared that the definition was confusing and kind of convoluted. And instead of having any definition at all, we decided just to simplify it. Not have a definition, but only add some caveats in the exceptions to setback requirements in section 40.200.070. So I'm now looking at the bottom of page 2 and the rest of page 3. So we're going to get rid of the language that says that those setback exceptions, like for eaves and porches, things that can overhang a setback line. That's what we're talking about. Get rid of the number 7 that said that these exceptions do not apply to development envelopes. And instead, reduce number 7 to say that allowed projections may not apply to landscape buffers, and then refer you to the landscape code. So we're not changing what's allowed in a landscape buffer. But then number 8 elaborates on under what circumstances or what sort of envelope lines can the projections be used. And so basically we're saying generally you can, if you've got a building envelope, you can have an eave overhang that building envelope unless the envelope line is shown to reflect a critical area. So if it's a wetland or habitat buffer, then these other exceptions will not apply. And then also repeat the note about certain things may or may not be allowed in a landscape buffer. And then also note that if there's some language on the plat that says no projections can occur, well then of course you still can't do that. So that should be a lot simpler in our minds and should get rid of some of the concerns that that we have had. Some of these, you know, things sometimes lead to plat alterations, and this hopefully will eliminate some of those.
So you're punting on definition of a building or development.
Yes.
And in lieu of that, simply providing, and you had this in your previous, so really it's just a removal of that.
Removal of the definition
entirely. And actually paring down. Yeah. Okay.
It was getting kind of convoluted, and you know, different plats show sometimes the term building envelope is used, sometimes development envelope is used, and it's just like made your head spin.
Yeah.
So this covers either or, but. You know, when you've got a line created to reflect wetland or habitat area, no, you don't get to use them. That's always been the case. That's right. Consistent with the wetland
yep,
code.
Yep.
And you can't have them project over an easement. That's shown in number 8A. But if it's not one of those things and the plat doesn't prohibit it, then you should be able to use them.
Okay.
So on number 7 here, I like the changes. And then right here, the above exceptions, it do was changed to may not apply to development in Wilkes. But yes. Really what we're saying is they pretty much do apply in most cases to develop on Wilkes, except for the exceptions.
Numbers. Looking at numbers.
So,
the new number 7.
Page 2. Yeah, it's hard to say because there's several 7s in there a few times. Okay. But right under front setback there. the above exceptions on page
3. Okay, yeah. I see what you're saying.
I think that's the old.
That's the old language. The top of page 2 is the old language.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the cross one. But are we now saying the above exceptions may not apply to develop envelopes? Is that the new suggestion?
On page 3, this is... Yeah,
you want to go
over page 3. You look at page 3, he's got that same line, but it's crossed out.
That's the new language.
Okay.
So number 7...
What I'm saying is they actually may apply. So may not or may...
Under 7, it says they may not apply to landscape buffers.
Oh, okay.
And so then it says go look at that landscape code to see what is and what isn't. But then number 8 says the projections are allowed to building or development envelopes unless the following A, B, and C occur.
Yeah, and that directly goes to the exception to setback allowances under section 4200.070 shall not apply to landscape buffers except as follows.
Yeah, so I guess it's fine. It clarifies it. But having this repeated in the middle of this page was a little confusing. Maybe you just going to need that.
And it's not going to the planning commission that way because this is just for you guys. This is special for you. I especially wanted to confuse you.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
It's special. You're doing my job. All right. So the next one, the original language starts on page 4 for proposed amendments to chapters 14 and 15. Which were to remove references to separate building, plumbing, and fire boards of appeals, and instead have one board of appeals to hear all three disciplines. So basically, we're still doing the same thing, but legal staff looked at this and thought, why are we still having county language dealing with appeals? So it was suggested instead of having any these exceptions in the county codes to the IBC, IMC, and all those others, just eliminate the exceptions and therefore adopt what's in, you know, the appeal sections of the IBC, the IMC, the Uniform Plumbing Code, and the Fire Code. So basically, we're proposing, now let's skip to the new language, which starts on page 9. So, bottom of page 9, so this is existing code 1405.112.3, Board of Appeals. So basically, this is existing county code that has exemptions to the IBC. So we're going to strike that and therefore adopt what's in the IBC because we adopt the IBC generally except for these exceptions. Yep. So by getting rid of the exceptions, we'll adopt what the IBC and those other codes say. And so also in your packet should be those IBC, IMC, and all that other jazz to see what actually will be adopted. We went through it, and it's very general, and that's what they're looking for. They don't want to be nailed. We don't want to be nailed down with particulars or who's going to be on these boards. So basically, we're just going to go with that. County Council would appoint this appeals board. I'm not sure, to be honest, how much traction that's currently got to generate, you know, those appeals boards. But right now we got a bunch of language that has, like, you know, 15 or 20 different qualified individuals. The idea is to blend, you know, narrow it down into one appeals board. But the existing language in the IBC, IMC, Fire Code, and all that is general enough that allows us to create it, you know, as it comes. So the only thing we are keeping is some provisions in the, we're keeping some exemptions in the mechanical code, because some of the international mechanical code has all sorts of specific things about appeals boards, and we do not want to adopt that. So, where is that section now? All right. Okay, so on page 10, we are keeping a little remnant of an exception to the International Mechanical Code, and we're just still exempting some of those details out. It's like, you know, this is pretty kind of minutiae stuff. But we're trying to keep it simple. And even though you guys didn't really have major concerns with this, after the meeting, legal staff looked at it, said, you know, we're still working way too hard here. Let's just fall back to the other codes and it just adopt them by reference.
Hey, Jan, just real quick, on page 10, double underlined section, you have three P's in appeal.
Oh, okay. Well, let's not do that. Thank you. Yeah. All right, thank you for that. Okay. Sound all right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next one is starts on page 13. Again, the original proposed text that you saw on December 5th is on page 13. This is a proposal to amend 4540-120, alteration and vacation of final plats, to allow for a minor plat alteration process. Your main concern or request was to open up what might qualify for a minor plat alteration. And on page 19, you will see the new language. The stuff that's added is 3B near the top. Not just the first, before you saw only the Scrivener error language. And then this would be consistently with current code requirements. So, you know, if the plat said the front setback of the R1 10 zone shall be 20 feet,
and it's now it's
10 feet. You know, it still requires a plat alteration, but it will be a minor.
Cool.
That kind of thing.
That's.
Yeah, it'll still go. It still have to go through the public process. We've shortened the time where one can appeal any plat alteration down to 15 days from 21. That's on page 18. So that opens that up a little bit more. So Planning Commission is going to hear. We had a work session on the 2nd. They'll be going to hearing on these proposed amendments as they're written now next Thursday. So I don't know if, I don't believe you had any particular objections to anything else. If you're okay with this, I don't, in years past, sometimes we've gotten an official letter from you guys. I don't know if you care to do that. If you feel that you're okay with these, a verbal okay would be.
Briggs typically sent something to the board or to the PC indicating what the decision was.
Yeah, at least a motion.
At least a motion.
That's up in writing, and it gives staff the authority to say that.
Councilors have, I think PC and councilors have specifically requested that we provide that. Okay. Something formal.
Okay. So. I do appreciate the taking in our comments, and they weren't easy in coming up with what looks to me to be hit it on the nose. Yeah. So I appreciate it.
So I'll move that we support the biennial code amendments as presented today.
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? I do have one quick question. It's more because how it would be applied. On the plat, on the alteration thing for minor alterations, this comes up quite a bit where a project was platted under a different zone. Maybe it was done under a rural zone. And at the time, it was 30-foot setbacks. We wrote 30-foot setbacks on the plat. Mm-hmm. And then since, it was brought into urban densities, and now it's, say, R18. And on that old plat, it still says that everything in this plat has a 30-foot setback. But now that it's brought into a new zone, and the zoning changed, is that old plat note invalid?
I think that's exactly what that
is. We have not interpreted it as being invalid. We have had applicants go through the plan alteration to change that.
So say you have this...
So that would be the kind that would qualify.
Okay, so you have a parcel inside of that old plat, and now it's brought into urban density. So now you have to replat it. By replatting it, does that change what you're doing? Because now you have a new plat that's inside of an old plat. So it was created years ago in the 70s under R5.
So you're replatting a lot of...
Yeah, but now that R5 area was now brought into urban densities. It's now, we'll just say R18. Mm-hmm. So on that plat, it said that everything in that plat had to have 30-foot setbacks, side and rear yard setbacks.
That's illegal.
My view is that once it's brought into urban density, it changes the zone and the underlying
title. See, that's what I would assume too, yeah. But that's why I wanted to bring it
yeah,
up.
I think,
it just came up.
Yeah, I think that particular case, I don't think we would require a plat alteration to change that note because, you know, you're replatting it. But, you know, if there are pre-existing easements that exist, you got to get rid of those or, do a plat alteration on those.
That would be a good question for a surveyor.
They were just restated.
Dan's got a code.
I've actually looked into this and I asked you about it because the CCNR, their CCNRs and stuff like so there could be setbacks within CCNRs mm-hmm. and there could be setbacks on the plat.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what I was looking at was a 5-acre chunk that was part of a 4-lot. 5-acre chunks, and the plat said exactly that, 30 yeah. foot, you know, to the front, 50 foot to the back, and I just looked at it, I was like, so you'd have to, I looked at it, I was like, okay, now I'm going to have to get, to do a plat, I'm going to have to get all the other owners mm-hmm. of this whole plat to be able to agree to it, and I just would have to be, somebody's been there. One of the houses there was a really nice house, and they're not going to, you know, I built a mini mansion on a 5-acre parcel. I don't want to have right across the street a 6,000 square foot lots.
So. Yeah, but at the same time, then, what the county is assuming for vacant buildable lands, if you have to have 30 foot setbacks, you can't meet urban densities on those lots.
No, I looked at it, there was no way. I think that issue, though, is a little bit outside of what...
It is. However, how would you even apply that? And is that something that would be applied in this?
Well, if you had a plat and you had CCNRs...
CCNRs are different.
I mean, if it's in your CCNRs, I think you've got a problem. I think you've got to get whatever the CCNRs, 100%, 90%, whatever they say in terms of... the amount of homes, you know, quite often it's 100%, you know, and get everyone to sign off on it, I think. Whereas if you owned the entire land and it was platted, then you would be able to get rid of the easements and you'd be able to change the setbacks. But I'd look to...
No, I mean, I agree.
It's
tough.
I think
it seems like the zoning change by the county by bringing it in urban density and shouldn't... Because you're replatting at that point, and I'm assuming you're beyond the 5-year period or whatever, 6-year, you're going to be okay. But if it's a covenant issue, that's a different scenario because that is basically a private contract. You have to abide by what the private contract says.
I'm not the developer, I live, but I'm okay.
Well, interesting question.
Yeah, that's
outside the scope here.
I've been accused.
So, all in favor of the recommendation to support the modifications as recently proposed? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
All right, thanks, Jim.
All right, you bet.
Thank you, Jim.
Holly, will you be able to provide them something?
Yes.
Okay. Good job, Dan. You did the impossible.
Okay, thank you. Can I announce, Jim?
What's that?
Can I announce what you...
Oh,
I think word's gotten out.
Word's gotten out.
Word's gotten out.
Announce it. I haven't heard it.
Bill, what is this?
It's his last biannual. He's retiring.
You're retiring?
You're retiring?
Too young to retire.
Good for you, Eric.
6 months. Yeah, I'm getting out 6 months before 65. So,
but yeah, I am.
Who's taking over for you on the biannual?
He doesn't care.
Oh my goodness, dude! You've been doing these for so long.
Yeah. So you're out of here in March, right?
It's actually, it's enjoyable. Frankly, it's trying to do casework and this at the same time is a little taxing.
Yeah.
Congratulations. It means you missed big times.
Well, congratulations on your retirement.
Upcoming retirement.
So. Yeah. Never thought it would happen. Retirement was bad and whatever, It's hard to believe it's actually happening to me.
Happening for you.
All right, we already went over the appointment of chair and co-chair, so we skip on to number 4, which is 2019 annual report and work plan. And I think that's, is it in here?
I don't think we do in here, no.
Do we not have a copy of it? No, we don't.
I brought one.
Mike, you've got it.
I've got one.
Is there a copy machine close? Do we run a few? Or?
We can go to port 4.
Oh, yeah, should be.
Okay. Well, I have a copy here. We can make copies.
Mine's all written on, I think.
The better one to have.
Yeah, you probably want to keep that.
Yeah, roughly. And while we're doing that, we can just kind of discuss the general process. And maybe what we do is but we usually introduce it. Everyone kind of takes it home. They can kind of make their suggestions. And then at the next meeting, we'll go over those suggestions and finalize what our action items are and what we've accomplished for the year.
I think we can cross them off, too.
We can cross a few off.
Yeah.
Mike's done a great job in the past of looking at all the past agendas to see what we've covered so far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll be your record keeper for the last 9 years. Yeah, and so and I don't mind once we've done that and once the past chair has taken a look and revised some things, pass it on to me, kind of look through it, make sure we've captured everything.
Probably a few items still on the to-do list from last time I was chair.
And the time I was here, the time he was chair. Yeah, there's been some things that have carried over, but I think that, like this plat alteration thing, that one's been on our board
long time.
I'm going to finally scratch that one off.
Yeah, there's just quite a few items I know that BIA has been working on as well, so to get their kind of feedback. They had some great lunch meetings with Dan Young and a few other people from the building department. And it's more focused on building permits, not necessarily some of the planning items that we cover, but that's under our purview as well. So it would be good to kind of, meld some of those priorities and work together on the stuff that they're working on, so it's kind of one point of contact.
I think that's great that, Dan's here now, and with Jeff and Terry, we can start hitting on some of those. Those are things that we haven't typically talked about in the past. Hey, maybe now's that time.
Well, kind of waiting on the sheet. Does anyone have any suggestions that we can start talking about from what we know we've done in the past?
We were so close about one of the site districts.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Can check that off after our next meeting, hopefully.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think we already checked that one off and we brought it back.
Retaining loss?
Yes,
I think we were.
Well, that's how site distance
we're overdue.
As much as we want to do that,
we clear zone.
So site distance.
Let me see.
The UGA stuff is going to come back. It's going to be a continued priority.
Did you land the plane? Have we landed the plane on tax lot stormwater?
That is still there, and I think that should be something we should focus on. That's where Holly's out of the room. But one concept that came out of that functional oversight that kind of, I guess, stopped is a few items, actually. I have kind of listed maybe 3 items that came out of that. One was the way we do those stormwater reviews, and right now they're going to third-party consultant. Yeah. the level of detail in those plans and the risk associated with it is so low, the review should be proportional. So one concept that came out of that group was basically a flowchart that a counterperson could go through. Is it, if you have a downspout, is it meeting one of these BMPs? If it is, does it meet these setbacks? And you can basically check box, and if you check it, it is assumed to be approved, and it can move forward. Sending these out to remodeling and have a third-party consultant go through and redo basic calculations on stuff that the model's not even set up to do. These models are not set up for rural developments where you have dispersion. It crashes out. There's no way to model that in the system. It's like, as well, you can divide by zero error. It don't work. So we've had to come up with a way to train the consultants on how you can meet the intent of it with the model the way it is, and staff signed off on it. But every time they have a new third-party consultant, we end up having to train them again. And we go through three reviews to it. So if we could get to somewhere where we all agree on this checklist, you go through, you're done, we could really cut a lot of time out of those reviews. So another one we talked about coming out of that was another bug down is driveways in the rural area. When you have site distance and driveway spacing, and most of the time you don't meet site distance, or you don't meet at least intersection spacing.
Yeah, 50 mile an hour road.
So, what's that?
You're 50 mile an hour road.
Yeah. So when we do that, instead of having to do a road mod on each one, we could actually write the code saying, in these situations, for a single access point for one SFR, it is exempt from these requirements if you've checked all these other things. So have a process in place instead of requiring a detailed road modification for each one. That was something else we talked about. And then the third one was accessory buildings and when to, what happens when you now build a new home and the land was agricultural in the past and it was an agricultural building that wasn't permitted. What is the level of detail needed on that to basically let it sign off? You can't go through and do a new building permit on it. You don't have all the information. Instead, having some minimal safety check saying, all right, it's safe to occupy and be done with it, not have to go into a lot of detail on those because it could really bog you down. So those are kind of the three, like,
those are good.
Hot topics that came out of the functional oversight that were still kind of on the to-do list.
I was going to say on the ag building, I think, how do you put the ownership, the liability of ownership on the property owner so the county's not feeling that liability? That's really the issue there, I think.
There may be a whole harmless. I don't know. Maybe there's something that they can do. Say, okay, this was permitted as an ag building. The county building department did not review this. And you are not taking responsibility for any code-related items. I don't think they can do that. But I know they've done it on other things. Similar. Not particularly in the same. But either way, it's really tough to do when structures were permitted without a permit to make you get a permit now.
After the fact.
After the fact. You don't have drawings. The walls aren't open.
And I've run into that from a commercial side where it's like, well, we don't have any record that this building was built with a building permit. It's like, but it was built in like 48 or 62 right. or it's like it predates all of that. Well, we need to make sure that it's up to current standards. It's like, no, we don't. So we run into that situation too. So that it's not just rural, there's a urban aspect to that too, but I don't think it's quite as prevalent as it would be in rural areas.
Yeah.
One of the things that we covered was trails and with parks and working with and the discussion of parking impact fee credits. Done yet. In the fact that I know in my discussion with parks, they're still working to get to Jamie, what's where you can speak to more.
They don't have a way to give, like, so there isn't a trails capital facilities
plan. Right, that's wrong.
So I know that there's some interest from the counselors about, especially in the 179th area, trying to do things a little differently and more akin to what the cities are doing. And so, from a development standpoint, obviously, if they're going to put, a trail plan together, have that as a requirement, and expect builders to develop it. And we want to make sure that we're getting credits for that. So I think the new parks person is being tasked with the potential of doing that. So I think it's going to be an issue that creeps up this year that we'll want to weigh in on. And, you know, really give our experience about what we've done in Richfield and Camas and Washougal that have kind of compelled us to do it.
So that plane hasn't been landed either.
Yeah.
No.
It's in process. Mm-hmm.
There's progress. Yeah, and that's what I feel like on a decent amount of stuff is like we've made progress, but it's not. It's still something that's in process.
And that's been the case with a lot of the stuff that we've dealt with over the years. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, we should put them in reaction areas where they might not even been on a work plan, but there is no important stuff that we have accomplished. So
we talked about bonding. I believe we talked about remarks with AHO. We talked about bonding and permitting.
We talked about early payment of, I don't know where you guys are with that, but early payment of TIFs.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was already in place.
What's the... What?
No, that's Steve, no, it was an early payment.
Do you guys land the plan on that?
I'm glad you did. We haven't heard anything.
Prepaying
in. Basically, nothing more than what I brought up to you. Although, I mean, we
saw several months ago.
We haven't heard of that one, but the one we continually got, I guess, from the county, or the response is, oh, our system isn't taking it. We can't process them.
So, you want to give the county a bunch of money that can be used immediately, and the county has no way to take that money.
Right. Well, we suggested just that, and there was no real kickback to it. It was just a flat note. In other words, you record a flat. We, in fact, Cynthia talked about it. You record a flat, pay the, at the time of recording, you've got the option to exercise paying the entire TIF at that point, because theoretically that's when the impact has been generated or planned for anyway. Yeah. And then the way the county would track it would just be you'd have a flat note that says transportation impact fees on this project have been paid, clear for take.
We've done it similar in other jurisdictions where we have an election. We can either pay it up front when we record the flat, or we can pay it at building permit.
What jurisdictions?
Moses Lake, for example.
What
it makes sense.
What
I mean,
other jurisdictions?
Typically, I don't like to do it unless I know impact fees are going up. So, Clark County would be one where I would do it. I know I did have a. This is weird because we did have a plat we did buy Riverdale had the election in it with a developer's agreement to pay it up front. Okay, we bought the plat from another developer and they didn't pay it, and we negotiated with the county to pay it in time for it. So it was in play at the county at one time as well.
Okay.
And that's, you're only talking about traffic impact fees, you're not talking about parks or schools.
It's parks, schools, it should all be relatively the same thing. I mean,
the difference though is that you've got different stakeholders.
Yeah.
So,
that's why I asked.
In the attempt, I think my thought was, in the attempt not to open a bigger can of worms than absolutely necessary, one of those three big ticket items that the county has exclusive control over,
traffic.
Yep.
And specifically the park in Moses Lake is the one that paid us.
We can't even get credits on parks. So
right, but in Moses Lake they have a system set up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just paid it flat.
Okay.
So I know you guys have been seeing this for the first time again since last year when we went through this, but maybe I guess the suggestion would be if you want to kind of take a crack at the draft of what our accomplishments were for 19 now, and then I'll take a crack at some of the work plan suggestions for 2020, and then we'll circulate that first, and then once we have that new draft, we'll circulate kind of a red line. But it would be good to have some of the stuff incorporated in before that. So if anyone has anything right off they want to include for the 2020 or our accomplishments, maybe.
Did you? I know we had this with Zeno going. Could we get a Word doc, or had you send a Word doc?
Okay. I think I actually copied it back
when
you look at my email, it was nested in a few emails. Okay. I pulled it out and put it right in the front. Thanks. So you should have it.
So in our
document at least.
1920 monitoring items, we've got the CCLMS post go live review and improvement. So I'm not sure if that's a monitoring item now. I mean, or whether we obviously want to keep it as a monitoring item, or we want to, because I'll tell you, it's funny, the system, if I had to guess why the county can't take the money up front on tips, I would have guessed they would tell you it's because their system won't accept it. And the system seems to be really restrictive when it comes to payments, credits, and then, like I said, in reviewing this final plat, I don't know, four or five, quite a few of the issues come down again to limitations and the ability of the system. So
the issue I understood was that they anticipated having a difficult time tracking so much data.
I think they do. You would think they could resolve it, figure that out too, but
it's not.
I know, but it's. I don't know whether we want to keep this as a monitoring item or whether we want to. I guess it depends what we hear.
I think it is probably a continuous monitoring item.
Yeah.
But if we're having issues associated with it, like it sounds like the plat and the planning side of things is having issues with that, with the LMS system as implemented, does that bump it off the monitoring?
Or as not implemented.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know where it stands and what its limitations
are, but we would be monitoring it until we found specific issues that were happening with it, and then it would become an action item again because we want to fix those issues that come up.
Yeah, when Carol comes in, it's on February, in February meeting, she probably can answer the some of it has to do with the funding, which nobody can help.
Has it been a big improvement?
Yeah, it has, but again, you know, the estimate of what it cost was a lot higher by the time we got done, because I don't think they understood our system and what we wanted to do. And then every time we said that's what we do and that's what we want
to change.
Happen.
Yeah. They changed our
So we ran out of money before we get to the end. So that's what happened. And again,
so now we're kind of running a two.
There are still some fun, but again, there are some other, you know, projects that she's running.
Yeah.
For example, electronic plant review, especially for the building. Trying to do that.
Okay. Well, it'll be great to hear from her.
Yeah. So we will have her here. She has probably knowledge of all the limitations.
Eric, to add to the list for this year, Susan talked about fully complete. That kind of went silent after, that was a few months ago, the fully complete process. I'd say both land use and probably if there's a value to the building permit process, but it was really kind of targeted to land use and kind of looking at that. And that was, Mitch came in and talked about the county's budget and how long it's taking through that fully complete process, and so that was a segue to that. So I think that'd be a good one to cover.
You and I and Andrew are expected to this month. I don't think we have a date yet.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
Can you have all the
old
agendas still? We need those recirculated. So when you look at our accomplishments, a good place to check is what was on our agendas.
Yeah.
And then maybe kind of list, you know, bullet point those. I don't know that we need every single thing, but maybe take the ones off. Let me send it to Terry and I, and boil them down to this, and come up with the new accomplishments.
So
anything that really rings out that you guys are really proud of from this year, so including them.
Well, let me check all the agendas.
Well, that's weird.
subgroups too.
While we're doing that, again, another monitoring item is the single-family residential lien process.
I hear it might be going away.
Well, first of all, I think it's gone
changing.
Away.
Changing,
exactly. So I don't know whether this is a monitoring item, but I do know
that
unless things have changed, though. How long is it taking you to get a building permit now?
James was going away, and then I heard it wasn't going away, and I.
But to get a building permit, it's months, a couple of months, or is it 8 weeks? I can't.
According to Grace in our office, she said that they, I mean, at the end of the year, they were really trying to clean their backlog, so we were getting turned around like that. But then she's only submitted a couple since the first of the year or whatever the new system is, and I don't think we've got those back yet. So that's what we're monitoring right now.
Okay, I'll have to ask our secretary.
I have a patio cover that only took 6 weeks. A patio cover.
Yeah, no, I had heard, and I'll have to ask our group.
What was it? It's a patio
cover. That's when you install it and ask for forgiveness after the
fact.
So it should be maybe be smoother now, or okay, maybe it stays a monitoring. I don't know. It just that's good.
I think it's just for monitoring to see how effective.
Yeah, we're always good here. I mean, if building permits start becoming, you know, 6-8 weeks out or whatever. But I haven't had a lot of complaints. So I did like a month or two ago, so.
Well, yeah, the part that I just met, and then it's going to be 8-10 weeks if you submit after December 18th to be prepared. So then you saw, like, Cold Home submitted for permits on every lot that they had in our county jurisdiction. So
yeah, I see that.
But that wasn't communicated to us when we met with them, and that's where I'm like, why? So then when I communicate what they were communicated to us, then it doesn't match, and so then what are we doing here?
Right.
That was my concern question.
Yeah, that's been happening.
So I don't know where it is.
That's been happening in other jurisdictions too, where a national or someone comes in and submits. Yeah, and just bogs down the system, and there seems like there should be some kind of a.
But it was what I understood was that was happening with builders because of what staff was instructing them. Like, be prepared for a long delay if you want to get ahead of it. Submit before. That's why it was happening was because what staff was telling them.
Well,
we didn't hear that though when we met with
legislation.
On building permits that wasn't communicated to us, we weren't able to communicate it to give people a heads up, and then it leads to frustration, which part of our job, as I see, is to help to try and head that off, be a buffer, or stay get ahead of it, and we can't do that if we're not communicating the same message.
No, I agree with that.
I think it might be beneficial for us to almost streamline our document a little bit more to make it quicker to read for the concept as well, because a lot of the things we have in here, there's several redundancies, and they say the same thing, several different ways, but really mean the same thing. So if we can kind of trim those down, combine them where possible, really make it a quick outline document to give to them at our work session, I think that would help. So as you're going through it, instead of having to list every agenda that we had, they don't really want to see that. That's public information.
No,
we can summarize our big accomplishments, and you know, we can say we continue to work on process changes and efficiencies, and study the fees and the permit signs, things like that. We can really boil some of these down into groups. And then stress a few of our major accomplishments and what we've done over the last year. And then, again, kind of our to-do list, I think that's been a pretty good format. We've used that in the past to kind of pull things to agendas. So I think for this year, we need to focus on getting a few more off our agenda.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Can I have another?
I really pushed for that last year.
And the year before.
Rewrote this such that it. I didn't want to keep looking like the same thing that we had every other year. They don't know. I mean, the counselors wouldn't really know unless they went back.
No, I agree with that.
But we
changed it up a little bit. Right? But another work, I don't know if it's in here. I know Greg's talked about it, and I've always advocated for it. Greg's talked about coming up with a to-review
engineering.
Yeah.
If you go through that, and I don't know if it's in here, but to me that would be, if you go through the...
It is.
Yeah. Is it in here somewhere?
Yeah. So yeah, but that's contingent on the consultants going to that meeting.
Exactly.
And making sure that everything's taken care of.
Exactly.
And,
but if we get that on the books and consultants know that, and it can really happen, that would be awesome.
I think it's more a matter of, and then the consultants actually making those changes, number
right.
one. Number two, staff not taking another bite of the apple.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think that was the
three, whole. Getting all departments to comment at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That's that.
And I think there was even a fourth, which would be in terms of the consultants, that maybe only certain consultants, if a certain consultant can't seem, or an engineer can't seem to make those changes, then they don't qualify
right.
for that process.
I would agree.
You know, because I yeah.
Or anyway. If you waive the meeting and you think that you can take care of it all on your own, fine, but you're taking chances with that second review and there's no guarantee that you're going to get everything
right.
at the second.
The difficulty is when you make comments on the first review, there's going to be changes in response to the
right.
comment.
Which and might prompt
that you can't
which
yeah.
might prompt additional comments. I didn't even think about
that
should be.
But that's not always the case.
Yeah. I would think that'd be the exception.
Yeah. Usually there are like a few percentages, about 20%. Actually, there are times that
where once something is addressed,
on the second tape, you know. You keep, you know, adding that same comment and CC comment.
Oh. I thought
you. No. Other than that, like for example, there is a major design issue.
Okay.
And you pointed out, and the engineer,
gotcha, yeah. okay.
the engineer changes the system or the location or something. That by itself, you know, may
could cause additional comments.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but there are times that you know, not all the comments are fully addressed. You know, and you keep.
Oh yeah,
same
stick that.
Sometimes, especially some engineers.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I know there's some engineers that go through five or six reviews.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, and
what?
Where's if I were their client,
paper you wrote on when I was talking,
which I was at one point, I wouldn't. Keep them as an engineer, but
yeah, it's in here somewhere.
I like the idea.
Name
the thought of it. Anyway.
I did write a name on it.
So I'm gonna when we have our summary, we're gonna have that. Since I'm speaking for all of us, my thought would be is I'm not gonna go through line by line and just restate everything that's written out because they can read what's there.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm just gonna talk about in general sense. What we accomplished, things that transpired.
I would pull stuff off the agendas that's not necessarily in here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've done in the past is we give them this big long list and then we just say, you know, in general we deal with these types of issues. Here are a few specific items that we actually dealt with last year. And then on the future looking, it's here are the, you know, the types of items and some of the major issues we're looking at over the next couple of years type thing.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily
ask them what they might want us to look at.
Yeah. Yeah. Last year we had two new counselors that weren't familiar, so it was a little bit more simplified in what we talked and how and what was discussed. So I think this year we can be a little bit more technical than we were last year.
You know, looking back, I'm looking at I just skimmed through what our work plan is from 2019. There's a lot of items we worked towards, and I don't even know that the agenda say how much we actually did this year. So much was reactionary, and so much like committee work. And there was a lot of stuff on our to-do list that's still on our to-do list.
I don't
see many of them.
But they need to know that, and I think we told them that before, and we need to reiterate that. Because those reactionary items are the ones that require the attention right then and there, and that's fine. And I think if there was anything on our work plan that was that
crucial
right, that we would have taken care of. You know, it's a slow process.
That is part of our scope.
I don't think we'll ever get to the point to where DEEB is no longer necessary because we've taken care of everything. There's always going to be something going on. That would be neat, but I don't think that's going to be.
We've also had some staff transition too. That is Parks, you know, Mitch. that we don't even know some of the implications with Mitch transition, so those are, that's obvious. Continuation of issues we've been dealing with.
Yeah. So I guess just a kind of a path forward. If you can forward, Terry and I, the agendas from the last year, we can kind of compile those.
Yeah.
Within the next, what do you say, 2 weeks, we get a draft back to everybody?
Yeah.
So we have 2 weeks to kind of go over all those, rework our proposals on this in the next meeting. We can kind of go through line by line. We can kind of mark it up from there. You guys want to come with the red lines, and we can finalize it.
Do we have a date set?
For the next meeting?
We have a proposed one. I'll go up and change it, but I just...
It was March 2.
It's March something, yeah.
Oh, the March.
That was
for the meeting with the council. I was saying that I didn't know when spring break is. So my thought was to shoot for mid March.
Spring break is March 30th to April 2nd, 3rd.
So I said, hey, let's shoot for March 18th.
Yeah.
So stay away from
it. March 18th would be better.
March
18th. We're in spring break.
Okay.
So.
Some of us are going to be gone.
You're always gone.
Sounds good. I think we have a plan. If there is anything that anyone thinks of that they really want to incorporate in, feel free to email us. We'll do the best we can to take the first crack at it. All right. So that closes that item out. The last item we have on our agenda today is public comment. Any public comments? Hearing none. Anything else from the board? Then we will adjourn.
I think you did really well for your first meeting.
Yeah.
You'll catch on.
Almost
like you first meeting of its third term.
So now.
Is that recorder off?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.